This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
You're listening to Betting Weekly Syria on the BetRivers Network.
Well, hello and welcome to the Betting Weekly Serie A podcast brought to you in association with the BetRivers Sportsbook. Week three in Serie A, three teams with 100% winning records. We slipped to a small loss last weekend, but alongside me, Dan Roebuck, freelance Italian football journalist Daniele Fisichella, is aiming to get you back in profit. Just before we talk stats, you are on holiday in Italy at the moment.
That's Daniele. I am.
Tell us where you are. Where?
I am in the south of Italy. That's where I'm from the Sicily. I'm actually at the beach in the southeast of Italy, in Sicily, near Ragusa. Beautiful place. Recommended. But, you know, obviously, I had to do my duties as well for you guys, for BetRivers. Obviously, still watching football, still checking the odds. And yeah, it's a pleasure to be together with you, Dan, again.
Well, listen, this is what you get when you follow BetRivers. You can go on holiday in Sicily. You can enjoy some of the good life. Yeah. Just some interesting points over the first few weekends of the season. Italian football the last few years, Daniele, you know, traditionally when I think of it, when I was growing up in the sort of 80s and 90s, you know, there wasn't a lot of goals around, but that's changed in recent years. The last three seasons, I think the average goals per game, it's nearly three. In fact, two of the last three seasons, it's been over three, dipped underneath three last season. It'd be a very small sample size so far. We've only had two match weeks. But I mean, from a betting point of view, should punters be looking for something different, do you think? Do you see anything tactically with the main teams that would suggest that maybe we're not going to see as many goals? Are certain teams reverting to Italian stereotype, or should we not make any sort of judgment just yet?
It's hard. I think the only things that you can conclude is things that we already knew. The early start of the season means most of the teams are incomplete. The small and medium teams, I think they're still finishing their transfer market business up until the 1st of September. So they haven't quite got the roster they want. So perhaps that's why they're taking a more of defensive approach. Plus other teams like Juventus, like Roma, they're already dealing with some major injury blows. Of course, that's not an excuse, but you know, I think it had affected the scoring opportunity. But also, if you look at the likes of the medium class of Italy, Verona, Bologna, Udinese, Empoli, they do need reinforcements. These are teams that can play much better than what they did in the first two games. And obviously, they need to find their identity again. And with that, I think there will come more goals in those games.
We will watch with interest. We'll keep across the trends for you over the course of the season. We've got three tips over the course of this podcast that we're going to put up officially. We're going to talk about a couple of other games as well. We're going to start with Lazio against Inter. We're at the Stadio Olimpico. It's Friday night. Plus 300 Lazio, minus 112 into the draw, plus 285. Over under here, 2.5 is the mark, minus 167 over, plus 123 under. What do you like here, Daniele? What's the thoughts?
My first pick for this one, we got a few prepared. It's over three goals. So it's on the goals market. So more than three goals, you win plus 102. Only three goals on the game, you get your money back. And why? For example, the last five games between Lazio and Inter have all been both to score. Four out of the last five games have been over 2.5 goals. But that's not just the number. It's also the style this team plays. These are very attacking team. These are high-scoring team. Last season, Lazio was the second best home attack with 42 goals. So they, nonetheless, they beat Inter at the beginning of the season 3-1. And they showed Lazio they can create chances. I think they were slightly unlucky against Torino. They suffered the pressing and the high intensity for over 60 minutes, but in the end, best player on the keeper, Milinkovic-Savic, not the one of Lazio, the one of Torino, the goalkeeper, of course, the brother who kept a few chances out. So again, I think I can see some improvement in Lazio-Sarri in the second season. Immobile seems to be in good form. They haven't got major injuries to deal with. They'll play the best 11. And Inter, they strolled past Spezia. I don't think it's a great test to be considered, but they showed improvements as well in the fact that after scoring scoring after taking the lead with Lautaro, they didn't just stop as they did against Lecce, but they kept going. Lukaku gave an assist, so it's one goal and assist now for Romelu Lukaku since he's back in Italy. I think he's only playing at the 50% of his strength, but he's still making a difference. You know, the assist to Lautaro for his goal, it's a great one. So as I said, it is a high scoring game. Inter kept the first clean sheet in the last seven games at the weekend, including the pre-seasons, but you know, they are attacking. 17 shots on target so far in Serie A, joint top with Roma. Inter hit the bar and the post twice in the first two games. So yeah, that's my indication. Over three goals, the first one at least, +102.
+102 over three goals. That's the first selection. We've got a couple more though in this game as well. We're going to split our stakes here. So when Daniele talks about half unit, just half what you'd normally do, and you're focusing on a striker that you've talked about already. He's been in really good form. This is Lautaro Martinez. You like him to score at any time, Daniele?
I like him to score any time, and that pays +143. So it pays quite high. You can play half a unit, half of what you normally bet with us. And why I've chosen Lautaro Martinez amongst the so many strikers. There is Immobile, there is Lukaku, of course, there is Correa, who went on the score sheet at the weekend. Why Lautaro? Because Lautaro is a very particular kind of striker. He likes to go on a scoring streak. Normally, when he starts scoring, he scores for a couple of games in a row. I had a look at this stats. Last season, he had a drought of seven games between February and March, and then scored nine in the last 14 for club and country. Most of these goals were consecutive. And he did the same the previous season, the Scudetto season for Inter. He scored in three consecutive games for two occasions, and then he scored three times back-to-back. And then he didn't score. So his goals are concentrated in a short or longish spell. And I think, you know, playing with Lukaku, the partnership is made in heaven. You could see the goal he scored. They're going to really benefit from one each other. Lukaku is going to find a partner he didn't find at Chelsea. So yeah, Lautaro, which by the way, 2 years ago already scored at the Olimpico. I fancy him to be on the score sheet. +143, as I said, half a unit.
Half a unit, that's Lautaro Martinez to score at any time in the game. I was about to mention that partnership with Romelu Lukaku. You've mentioned it already. They do seem to be perfectly matched. One more in this game as well. This is Friday, remember, late Friday night in Italy, local time. Tell us your last selection in this one, Daniele.
This one is both to score, but both to score in the second half, which pays even more than Lautaro Martinez to score. That's +180. So again, high stake. Put half a unit, you know, a speculative one, because you're going to win a lot if it lands. Why did I choose both to score in the second half? Because I think this is a game that whichever is the result of after the 45 minutes, one team will have to go out and attack. Nobody's going to be happy and content with the nil-nil or being in a losing position. And these are two scoring teams, two teams that also on the bench have got a lot of quality that can change the game. Think about Inter, the way they finished the game at Lecce with four strikers on the pitch, and also Lazio, of course, they got good players on the bench. Three of Inter goals came on the second half of the season so far. All of the Lazio goals against Bologna were in the second half. It was in the second half that Lazio, when they played at Torino the weekend, had the best chances, but they finished 0-0. So both to score in the second half, +180. Be cautious, half a unit.
Half a unit on that one. Half a unit on the Lautaro Martinez to score at any time as well. We like over three goals at +102 on the Asian goal line. So check out all of those three for the Lazio Inter game. Incidentally, looking at the BetRivers website at the moment, we're looking at 300 plus different markets for this fixture. And that is the same pretty much for every single game, every single weekend across the league. So sometimes you've got to dig down, as Daniele has done here, to try and find one of the markets that you like. Look at the metrics, see if you can find some value. Let's move on to the game Saturday, early evening local time. This is Juventus against Roma. Always a big game. Juve +135, Roma +240, draw +215. Over and under mark here, 2.5, -113. Overs -121 for unders. I watched a little bit of the Juve game. Didn't create a lot against Sampdoria. That's pretty disappointing, wasn't it? You've talked about Juve in our preview at the start of the season, before the start of the season, and they have had one or two injury issues here, haven't they? So it's not quite flowing for them just yet.
Did you manage to keep awake, by the way, while watching Juventus, Dan? I mean, you can be honest. I mean, they were pretty bad, Juventus. They were pretty apathetic. They didn't create much. I mean, it raises the question, what is Juventus here? What kind of game are they playing? Yes, of course, they got a lot of injuries. And it is unlucky that the players that they signed in the summer, they're out. Di Maria, Pogba, of course, Chiesa, it's still out. They got Kostic, which played a decent game against Sampdoria. But the missing man, it's Vlahovic. He only touched the ball, I think, 13 times in the entire game and only 3 times in the first half. So Juventus seem to have the same issues they had last season, playing through the middle, being able to build the play from the back. That's how modern teams do, not just with cross-field passes from Bremer to Cuadrado or the other side. And yes, they don't create enough. And, you know, it was an honest performance by Sampdoria that put them in trouble. Then in the second half, Allegri understood that to play football these days, you need a midfielder with a footballing brain. He put on Miretti and things changed a little bit. Actually, Juventus scored a goal that was disallowed. But it is really disappointing to see Juve having changed in the style that much. Now, you know, last season they were depending on Vlahovic, now depend on Di Maria, who's going to be still out. As I said, Pogba is still out, Chiesa is still out. They do need 2-3 more signings to be really, really competitive and see who they land up front or in the middle of the park. Look, for this one, my first pick, it's first half, Roma, tie, no bet. We're going to talk about Roma in a minute. But that's interesting because if the first half Roma wins it, you win plus 112. Having seen the way Roma's played the last few games and the attacking forces they have, it's not unthinkable that they're going to go there and, you know, score a couple and probably score one in the first half. You know, after all, we're talking about Juventus with the 14th home attack last season. Only 25 goals scored, 7th overall. How did they manage to squeeze 3 goals past Sassuolo 2 weeks ago? Di Maria was on the pitch. Otherwise, they were really, really poor for the first 25 minutes. This is a proper test for Juve. It's also a proper test for Roma. First half, Roma, tie, no bet, plus 112.
Okay, and one other bet you want to talk about here. Roma, of course, have collected those two 1-0 wins. Not got a great record against the big teams over the last year or so. We talked about that again in our pre-season preview here. And you've already alluded to the fact that you think it's going to be tight. And again, we are focusing on the first half here. So we've got one bet in the first half and you've got a second bet that's just the opening 45 minutes as well, Daniel.
And this is the under one goal in the first half, minus 118, so minus money, because the bookies don't think they're going to be load of goals in the first half. If the first half finishes 1-0 each way, no worries, you get your money back. But if you finish 0-0, you win 118. Why do I think this? Because I think Roma, first of all, comes on the back of 2 clean sheets when they haven't conceded pretty much anything against Salernitana and very little against Cremonese. And I think this time, Mourinho, because he's without Wijnaldum and Zaniolo, very unlucky with the injuries, he's not going to deploy Pellegrini through the middle, which might make his midfield suffer, but he's going to go with Matic and Cristante. You know, these kind of things in the Premier League will put people's nose out of joints. They will say it's too defensive. In Italy, we don't mind. So it's going to go to the Stadio Olimpico with a defensive mindset, knowing that up front with Dybala, with Tammy Abraham, with Pellegrini, he can create problems. And I think also on the wings at the moment with Spinazzola and Castro, Roma are better. Another goal from corner, by the way, from Roma against Cremonese. Last year, they scored 11 goals. So be mindful anytime there is a corner. Roma could be really, really dangerous. Top shots on target for Roma so far in the first 2 games of the season, 17, like Inter, Juventus, lies 11th. And, you know, Roma, again, I think the 2-1 nils are not a true reflection of what they created. They created a lot of chances. They hit the bar at the post 3 times already so far this season. Last last year 17 times. Last year, Roma lost both games against Juventus, but in very unlikely circumstances. And if you remember the game at Turin, they didn't deserve to lose. There was a massive mistake by the referee. They should have had a penalty or a goal scored by Tammy Abraham. So I think the quality of the two teams is very, very close. So again, I don't think Roma is going to be the losing side of this one.
It's going to be tight. We like to focus on the opening 45 minutes here. The bets are Roma, Tino bet, plus 1-1-12 in the first half only, and under one goal in the first half, minus 1-1-8. And obviously, that's on the Asian goal line as well for that first half. So if it is one, as Daniele explains, you get your money back. Let's move on to Fiorentina against Napoli. Napoli, the great entertainers, as they have been over the last few years. They don't get the silverware, but they are very nice to watch. They scored 5 on match day 1. They scored 4 last weekend. Are we going in again, Daliani, here? We're expecting goals.
Yeah, because I got 2 out of 2 right betting tips on Napoli. So let's try to go for 3. These are the two teams that so far have had the most shots outside the target, on target in Serie A. Fiorentina, by the way, is also the first for corners taken. I'm going to go for goals here. That's my pick, only one pick. Over 3.5 goals, which pays plus 175. So you win if there is 4 goals or more, 2-2, 3-1, 4-0, whatever. With Fiorentina, there is a question mark because they play midweek and they play away at 20. They carry a 2-1 lead in a very important playoff for the Conference League. They missed from Europe for such a long time. And Italiano, it's a manager that likes to change formation quite a lot. At Empoli, made 9 changes from the players that started the game with 20. So it's very difficult to know what kind of lineups he's gonna deploy against Napoli. Some of the new players still need to find the best form. I think they got a very exciting right back in Dodo from Shakhtar, but he needs time to adapt. Luka Jovic had a good debut at home against Cremonese, against Empoli. It was a little bit hit and miss. I think when you talk about Fiorentina, you have to remember the last year they were excellent at home, second top team behind Inter. It is a team that creates a lot of chances. They just need a little bit better decision making, especially in the final third, in players like Jonathan Icone, for example. But it comes to Napoli, they were last year the second best away team with Milan, with the best defense, of course.
Tell me about this Georgian player. I'm not going to pronounce him. I'll let you do that one, Daniele.
Well,
because he's making the headlines for Napoli, and he's got 3 goals in 2. Come on.
Well, I can tell you they already nicknamed him Kvaradona.
But it is
Kvaratskhelia. It's teacher Kvaratskhelia. 3 goals in 2.
He's a midfielder, not a striker. Is that right? Where exactly does he play? Do we know yet? Because he's only had a couple of games in Serie A anyway. So I guess they're still trying to work out what they want to do with it.
The fact is, it is so good. Either when he goes on his left foot or cuts inside on his right foot, he can play on the front 3 or he can play behind the striker. I would not be surprised if he plays like in a front 2 with Osimhen. At the moment, he's like replacing Mertens, like on the left-hand side, and sometimes cutting inside with the right. Also, Insigne as well was playing there. But yeah, very, very good signing. It is a signing that they have had their eyes for a long, long time. And it could be the signing of the season. But let's see, because Napoli so far has faced 2 fairly weak defenses in Verona and Monza. Now with Fiorentina side, there's a little bit more experience. But again, aside the leaves the door open quite a lot. I'm also interested to see the new signings on Napoli, Ndombele, Simeone, Raspadori. I feel Napoli now have got the firepowers to compete. Then obviously when the Champions League starts, we'll see the rotations, but you know, things are looking good. Osimhen, 2 goals in 2, Napoli, 9 goals, 6 different players. You know, I think goals here, as I said before, over 3.5 goals plus 175. That could be a good pick.
More goals to come in the game between Fiorentina and Napoli. Watch out for Kvaratskhelia. 3 goals in 2 games, plus 750. If you think he might score first, plus 265 anytime goal scorer. As Daniele points out, not an out-and-out striker, but a Mertens Insigne replacement. We'll see where he gets on. We'll keep an eye on his price and his record over the course of the season. A couple of other games that you want to mention. These are unofficial tips, if you like, or unofficial thoughts. But as I've talked about before on these podcasts, we get your selections. There's also an awful lot that we chat about. If you're watching out there, if you're listening, and you just hear a snippet of information, information, then it might put you onto something that you want to back. Milan, Bologna, Milan still plus 400 for the title. They've dropped points already. No need to panic there. Well, what's your thoughts on this one? They're minus 278. Short price favorites to beat Bologna, Daniele.
Yeah, I mean, going for a Milan win here, I don't think there is a lot of value because they should be beaten. Bologna is one of those teams that still need to find an identity. They think is sensibly weaker than last season, Bologna. Milan maybe still hungover from the Scudetto last season. Leao doesn't seem to be in top form. They had some issues against the high intensity of Atalanta. This is going to be a very different game from with Bologna. I think Bologna are going to wait more in their half. Maybe the worrying things with Milan is they already conceded 3 goals. Last season, they kept 17 clean sheet. But, you know, I think we start seeing some glimpses of the Cattelair and Origi. Maybe this is the occasion of a start for both. You could check on the Bet Rivers how much it pays for the Cattelair or Origi. Anytime goal scorer, I think, is a very, very good price. Last year, Milan were the best home defense, let's not forget, although they do need another centre-back. Bologna were one of the worst away team. They collected less than 1 point per game. Everything from Bologna depends on Arnautovic. They will be without Orsolini, suspended. It might not be a high-scoring game. I'm going to go for a two-leg parlay, which is one of the pre-pack special on Bet Rivers. Milan win and under 4.5 goals. That pays minus 150.
Have a look at that. De Cattelara, incidentally, plus 135 to score at any time at the moment. And a brief word on Lecce against Empoli. Lecce plus 145. Empoli at plus 190, plus 250, the draw. When we had some email correspondence, Daniel, you suggested this might be a relegation six-pointer. Surely not this early.
Well, it is. Well, if you look at the newly promoted time side, like Lecce, and aside the last, then the second half of last season, Empoli have struggled massively and collected so few points. Yeah, it is a six-pointer. And I think it could be an exciting game, though, because, you know, Lecce, they create chances, they play the right way, you know, a good 4-3-3, also against Sassuolo, had good chances in front of goal. They couldn't score. By the way, we might see World Cup champions in Lecce soon, Umtiti, Samuel Umtiti, the signing from Barcelona. We'll see whether he makes this one. Whereas with Empoli, I think they chose the continuity, moving on from Andrea Zoli to Paolo Zanetti. So they still are a propositive side. They got very promising players as well, like Parisi at left back. I think they need Mattia Destro, the journeyman, just to find the scoring boots, just to find the form, because you know, the salvation comes from him scoring. Last season, Empoli had Pinamonti, who scored 16 goals, and now he moved to Sassuolo. But, you know, I think in this one, they will both go for it. That's why the over 2.5 goals doesn't pay amazingly well. It's only minus 141. But you might combine it with any of the other picks that we mentioned during this show.
Yeah, you could have a parlay. Certainly, incidentally, latest relegation prices on Bet Rivers, minus 134 Lecce, Empoli plus 140. That wraps up the coverage for tonight. I'll let you get back to a beer or a limoncello or a nice Gavi de Gavi, whatever you're drinking, Daniele.
I'll dip in the sea.
Fantastic. And your social media details, Daniele, are?
It's at Difisi. That's where you can find me.
At DFC, I've got into Twitter as well. I've got one follower at the moment.
Yeah,
so
that's
Nigel. So I need some more. At Dan Robe, I forgot how to log in earlier. But if anyone wants to follow me, we'll be promoting some Bet Rivers podcast, and I'll give you one or two thoughts over the course of the season as well. That's your lot for today. We'll be back. We've got a midweek round of fixtures, haven't we, Daniele? That should be fairly interesting. So we'll be back to preview that. We'll watch out for that. We'll try and get it done and dusted for you sort of Monday afternoon, Monday night, maybe even sort of Tuesday morning. We'll see how we get with that. We'll put it up on our Twitter feed so you'll know. But that's your lot. Daniele, thanks for your company. Speak to you soon.
Oh, speak soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Betting Weekly Serie A on the Bet Rivers Network.